Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Very nice to have you with us. And it is Thursday, for those of you keeping track, Thursday, the 23rd of June. Very nice to have you here on this day. We welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org, roundtable at WAMC.org. And we will get to those letters as soon as we start talking about the topics at hand. So let's begin there. I'll introduce the panel. Dr. Alan Chartok is here. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Joe, and thank you. I have to say that something very unusual happened this morning.
Oh, what is a...
I woke up by the alarm, which never happens.
Yeah, but did I not see, and I don't know, but I noticed that you were, like, writing notes at, like, 11:30, so
I got to sleep at 7.
Yeah.
Then I wake up for a compulsory hour up.
Oh,
usually around 11
so you sleep in
to
shifts.
12. Then I go back to sleep.
Yes.
Don't you see?
Rosemary Romero.
I do not care.
What is your sleep pattern?
None of your business.
Tell us about your REM cycle.
It's between me and my Fitbit.
We've just learned a little bit about you. Yeah.
Rosemary Armeo is director of the journalism program at the University at Albany, and a pleasure, as always, to have Rosemary with us. The our good friend Ira Fussfeld is here as well. He is the publisher emeritus of the Daily Freeman.
Speak for yourself.
What?
Our good friend, you say. I said, speak
for
yourself.
Well, I was sitting here thinking.
I consider Ira a dear friend.
Thank you very much.
You said our good friend.
Yes, like you. Thank you. I was thinking that the fun drive is over, so Alan's not going to open the program with the lockbox. And the Cafe Lena, whatever that fundraiser was, that's over. So what can Alan come up with this morning that has nothing to do with anything we're going to be talking about? And he found something.
Well, he doesn't. It's a talent.
It's sleep pattern.
Arianna Huffington has said that sleep is the most important thing in our lives. It's a great predictor of how we're going to do health-wise and everything else. More people are concerned, I'm going to tell you something, about their sleep patterns and their ability to get a good night's sleep than all of the people talking about Verschlugene stuff about, you know, newspapers.
Well, fortunately, you're putting everybody to sleep right now, so we're in good shape.
Ooh, score one
and,
for Ira.
And away we go. Hey, good morning. All right, so let's get going. Let me check this. They took it down.
No, they're still there.
No,
still
I know, sitting. But the CNN
the
had
hour.
The hour clock. I was going to say exactly how long that the House had been in their sit-in at the...
Cool.
Didn't that end in the middle of the...
No, it did not end.
It is still going on.
No, what they did was the Republicans adjourned.
Right.
But there's still the Democrats smelling the hay, smelling the grass, whatever... smelling something, right? Still sitting there, down there, in the well, in sleeping bags, to make the point about, you know, getting some serious gun control. Now, I don't know, by the way, Joe and Ira and Rosemary, I don't know whether the decorum, in other words, seeing them sprawled out there, is helpful to them. However, I do think they're making the point.
I think the Democratic base is energized. The hell with decorum, wasn't it Andrew Jackson who hit somebody in the over the head with
cane?
To make a point.
Oh, we don't need to do that.
And that's
nonviolent. It is in of the tradition, the best tradition of America when you're trying to fight an overwhelming power.
I'll tell you, seeing John Lewis on that
inspiring
House on the
floor was inspiring.
Yep.
And when they started to sing, I thought it doesn't get much better than this.
He is hot. This issue is hot, and it's a shame that these Republicans have now gone home to their constituency that will welcome them and not want them to do anything like put in controls over guns.
They are welcome.
Not one Republican joined. I made a pledge on Facebook that I would send money, a donation, to the first Republican who joined.
Well, you're going to send some money.
My money was safe.
You're going to send some money to Susan Collins, right? Up there in...
She didn't join them in the floor.
No, she's a
senator.
No, I said the Republican.
No, I said, I know what you said. I know what you said.
I do. There are some Republicans in the Senate,
well, can you at least admit that there's some very decent, courageous people?
Yes, but it's not the House. In the House,
Republicans are not among that number.
So explain to me why the Republicans are not willing to take a vote. Now, I'm not talking about
good
since the protest began where Ryan could claim, I'm not going to let them hold hostage and take a vote, yeah. because any time they yeah. they got their bug up their behind, they'd have a protest. But pre that, why we all know where they stand. What was the harm for them
exactly. reinforcing? They would have won it.
They would have won the vote.
Wait. Are you asking me? First of all, you're not asking me. But if you were asking me in my role as a political scientist, right?
Yes.
I would explain to you why they don't want to let them take a vote. Because then they have to bear the responsibility of having voted the wrong way when the polls are all showing.
Not in their home districts, Alan.
No, I think you're wrong. I think what happens is, I think you're wrong. I'm so sorry. But what happens is that there are some people who will, of course, agree. Because when you take polls of the electorate across the United States, they want moderate gun control. They do. And so, therefore, don't make faces.
I am making faces. Those guys are in office. They are in the House because their constituents at home put them there and have kept them there.
Yes.
They do not want gun control.
That's true. And elections are won or lost by 3 to 5% in many, many cases. And there's your 3 to 5%, and that's why they don't want to take a vote.
So, meanwhile, the House cameras were turned off. And the only way that we could see this was through Periscope.
A lovely app. I never used it.
Which is a Twitter division, mm-hmm. a division of Twitter. But also, then our good friends at C-SPAN said, oh, we'll air that. And they put it on. And then you could actually see what was going on.
Social media phenomena.
And I just thought, well, now who looks silly? Because why did they turn it off in the first place? That's just dumb.
Yeah, right. Right. Yeah, right.
I'll say one thing and then I promise I'll give you a chance here. I think that the difference in leadership between the Democrat and the Republican Party was amazing yesterday in the House. Nancy Pelosi looks out at all her people in the well and joins them and gave several statements that were just quite moving.
So she's the Speaker now?
No, not Speaker. She's the leader. Sorry, leader of the Democrats.
What?
Then
I
the
don't
Speaker
know that.
Of the
My
House.
My point is, if she's so amazing, how come they lost their majority?
Because there are people who support the Republican point of view, much as we disapprove of it. Now, having lost totally my point, Pelosi realizes her people are doing the right thing and joins them. Ryan sees what's happening. He shuts off the lights, which makes him look like some third world dictator, and tries to shut them up because what he really cares about is his single-minded, here's my plan for the Republicans. And yesterday he rolled out his plan to replace Obamacare. And that was totally lost. You notice that's not among our stories today. And that's what he's most upset about.
Yeah, Alan, I still don't follow your reasoning for why they're
there you
not
go
willing.
Again.
Why are they not voting? We know that the Republicans will stay on long
they
party
are not
line.
Voting because they do not want individual congressmen on the record, because once they say that they are against, for example, sensible gun control, it's different than if they didn't have to vote on it at all. What is your
so
obtuseness
by
about
not
this?
Voting at all, then they are all broad brushed by the same.
They are not. And I'm telling you that. And I'm also going to read you a letter, which is...
I don't get it either, Ira. I'm with you on this. Yeah. Maybe we didn't sleep enough last night. Well, I can't understand that.
You guys are all ganging up. And
no,
we all get it.
But what is it? Well.
No, what? I'm trying to explain it to you. I know I am right about this. This is historical. They do not allow votes where some of their members will be embarrassed in marginal districts by having to go.
But how are they not embarrassed by inaction?
They
right?
are not.
Correct.
They are not. And what happens is that's the point that they're
well,
trying
to... Well, wouldn't a more proper phrase be they hope they're not?
Well, look, this is hurting them. There's no question. When a bunch of Democrats put their sleeping bags on the floor and say, you're killing our babies, you're killing our people and the rest of it, it is killing them as a group. But it is not where they live and die, which is an individual votes in their constituencies. I want to read just one thing, which is a letter
that
came in.
Just the one that says, Alan, you're right.
Yes, I'm asleep.
Of course it is.
I'm with Alan to do a medical Monday on sleep. Rich from New Hartford. And by the way, Rich, we've done about 5 of them already. And we will continue because it's so important.
But meanwhile, back at the ranch, the polls show that 85% or so of all Americans, including many Republicans, are in favor of some sort of
That's
gun
right.
ban.
That's right.
And so even in the face of that, the Republicans are choosing not to vote. So I would suggest to you that even though an individual congressman, even one who is perhaps in favor of gun control
yes.
of some sort, he is going to be tarred by that same broad brush by his or her opponent in the fall.
It is different. And I'm going to tell you something, Ira. If you keep doing this kind of stuff, I'm going to have to challenge you to a duel on the Weehawken plane, Hamilton met Burr. What?
Stop expressing your opinion.
Yes, all right. I got it.
Not at all. It's become quite personal. No. What are you looking at?
Because it isn't personal, because I think Ira's got a point.
No,
he's saying that the Republican is going to lose either way by not participating in a vote and thus being against John Lewis and the angels that are sitting in the well, or by taking a vote and voting against party lines, along party lines.
What I'm about to say is going to shock you. I agree with that. I agree to some degree they lose. Their question is, where did they get hurt more? Do they get hurt more by taking a vote and having some of their individual congressional people exposed to real danger of losing, or by spreading it around and saying, we're not going to give those Democrats a vote? That, I agree with you, they lose either way.
I think at 3 o'clock in the afternoon when Paul Ryan, or 4 o'clock when he was on Wolf Blitzer and started calling it a publicity stunt and
awesome.
A talkathon and get him off the floor and just dismissed it.
Well, what would you say if you were him?
I think you go to the issue, which is it's very important that our colleagues in the House are discussing this issue, and there is and go with a decorum
and
issue.
And we have to do it in a responsible way.
Respectful
he had
way.
An argument.
He did have, and he didn't make it.
He was angry, and it's because his message got lost. The other most ridiculous thing was when he comes back after a long break. He comes back, reconvenes the House
in the wee hours of the morning
to vote on overriding the measure that actually would allow financial planners to cheat their customers and not get in trouble for it. Unbelievable. It was like such a message, such a gulf between the two parties. And he did it. He did it to himself.
And on top of that, as a final piece of the puzzle, on the first good day by some analysis that Trump has had in a long time,
right.
He stepped on Trump. Trump was
pushes him
was
off,
off
of
the front page.
Yeah, amazing.
We're going to... Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get a couple of letters, and then we'll go to our news break at the bottom of the hour. We'll be right back.
Support for WMT comes from Schoharie River Center, offering week-long ecology field school programs in Schoharie, Schenectady, Montgomery, and Otsego counties during July and August. SchoharieRiverCenter.org to register. SPAC, celebrating their 50th with the 39th annual Fryhofer Saratoga Jazz Festival, with Steps Ahead Reunion, Joey Alexander Trio, Smokey Robinson, and more, June 25th and 26th, SPAC.org for tickets. And Interim Healthcare, for 45 years, working to help people, age, and place, companion aides, and nurses 7 days a week, serving the Capital Region, Columbia County, Glens Falls, and Saratoga, interimhealthcare.com.
Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion. And we are joined this morning by Alan Chartok, the well-rested Alan Chartok. We are also joined by Rosemary Armeo of the University at Albany and publisher emeritus Ira Fussfeld. Let's go to a couple letters, and then we will take a news break at the bottom of the hour, and then we'll get into other issues.
Okay. And then comes Joe, who says, one, unfortunately, the Republicans won't lose control because of gerrymandering. That's probably true.
Right.
Although we're not talking about a lot of people. We're talking about some. Even in gerrymandered situations, we've seen the control of houses, the legislature, the Congress change when something comes up that really bothers the American people. So you're right about the gerrymandering. Nevertheless, it doesn't take all that many. Two, why can't reasonable gun control include an assault weapons ban? Well, indeed. Anybody on that? No. Okay. And then... who pays attention to gun laws? Certainly not criminals. If I was going to hold up a liquor store, would I check to make certain my pistol did not have over 7 rounds in a magazine? That's all you get.
But you wouldn't be carrying a semi-assault rifle.
Matt from UC says Alan's acting like an ass more than usual today. Tone it down, please, or take a nap.
Okay.
Did you write that during the break?
I didn't have time to write that. That was great.
Take a nap. That's going to be my new call now. Alan. That's funny.
Sort of Rosemary's equivalent of delete your account.
Yeah.
Jeannie says, the Wizard of Oz had that cowardly lion, but Congress has a cowardly Ryan.
Cute.
James says, history's being made, and we spend time talking about when we get up in the middle of the night.
By the way, I don't think it's incorrect to say that this is to a certain extent a publicity stunt that the Democrats are doing.
Absolutely.
But that doesn't mean that they don't have the gods on their side.
That's right, and that they're not right, which they are.
Yeah.
It is history. I mean, it is a historic event. I think it's pretty interesting.
And the media implications. Did you talk about this on the Media Project?
No.
Awesome.
We couldn't get a word in edgewise.
Were you talking about naps?
No, we were fighting about Gawker again.
Okay.
We're going to take a break.
Okay.
Take a news break.
Okay.
So just hold it there.
Okay.
And
then
we'll be right with you. We would love to hear from you. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. And we will continue our conversation after we hear from BBC News. We will also talk about other issues, including Brexit and the Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton speeches and much, much more. We will discuss all of that after this. Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable panel. And we want to get to some other topics, so let's do that right now. And we'll talk about, we'll hit this one quick, which is the Brexit vote. This is going on as we speak. We are expected to start getting in numbers very late today into tomorrow before we actually know what we do know as of the beginning of voting, that it is shaping up or has shaped up to be a cliffhanger. And we also know, as the Washington Post says, a poisonous campaign. It has been a very hard-fought campaign. And I think that over the last two or three days, throughout the debate, of course, but especially the last two or three days, where there was a great deal of opinion being shared of what the long-term consequences would be for Britain if this was enacted. Rosemary.
I think the vote is today. We'll know by tonight, because they're 5 hours ahead of us, if the polls are to be believed. And we don't know whether they ought to be. Britain will narrowly vote to stay in. At any rate, even if it does vote to stay in, the balance and problems within the EU will continue. There is great unrest that this vote demonstrated. And I think you're going to see changes in Brussels. Americans are breathing. They're kind of holding their breath today, waiting to see what happens, because American companies, most of whom use London as their gateway into Europe, could be vastly affected by this. There is, which I don't think I quite realized, a two-year, if you're trying to get out, according to the charter of the EU, you have 2 years to come up with a plan. And so all the threats of Germany and the rest to be really mean to Britain probably won't hold, because the whole EU could fall apart by then.
Right.
And as I say, it's just a disaster. If that were to happen, the only person who would benefit would be the Eastern Bloc. Vladimir Putin is holding his breath too today. That's my assessment.
Now,
what she said.
Ira.
Not what you said, what she said. No, I think, we're all holding our breaths, because if the vote is to pull out of that European Union, the very first thing that's likely to happen is that the stock market here is going to take
absolutely.
A tumble, and that's going to impact everybody in this country.
What's the market doing right now? Do we know?
It was holding, but...
There was also a suggestion this morning on one of the shows that... If the Union starts to dissolve, that could even hurt the effort to combat terrorism, because there would be less sharing of confidential information.
It could even hurt the filming of Game of Thrones.
Oh.
It could be a disaster.
Well,
the EU facilitates that.
That would be terrible.
The one thing I will say.
One show I don't watch.
We should, though.
Yeah. Sorry.
I just wanted to be polite. Let them go ahead and ruin what I was going to say. I was going to say, Rosemary, you are so unkind. I was going to say that the part of this that is so indefinable and interesting is what we are seeing in the United States when Donald Trump says, put up a wall or stop all Muslims to coming in here. Because believe me, the ones who want the Brexit are with that issue.
That's right.
We don't really know how, we really don't know whether they have their own silent majority or, quote, moral majority that they call the angry people who just want to vote no. With in terms of their unhappiness. And we have it here, they have it there, and I think that that needs some analysis.
Well, it's also the trade deals, too, another Trump thing. We're going to tear up all the trade deals he goes in. TPP has become just a bad word. It's not even a word, a bad acronym. And it all is related. It's the same thing as the EU, that it's organizing the world and world trade for the future. And that has short-term dislocations. And the people who are hurt in that dislocation are fighting back. And so you're going to see resistance to immigrants. You're going to see resistance to trade deals. You're going to see resistance to a united Europe, which really it's hard to see the downside of that except for the short term.
A lot of similarities. Trump wanting to get out of NATO is not unlike let's get out of the EU. The English believe that they're spending too much money to prop up the rest of the EU, whereas here Trump is more or less using that kind of argument, the free flow of immigrants into Britain.
Well, his argument that we're paying for the defense of countries who can defend themselves.
That's right.
Pay for it themselves.
Yeah, a lot of similarities.
Same thing.
Let's go to some letters, and then we'll go to a break. And then when we come back, we will get into some other political stuff.
Okay. Molly says, the sit-in. I agree with Alan. Ryan's not allowing the vote because the members of his caucus plausible deniability. A congressperson who wants to vote for the issues can go back to her district and claim to be in favor of the measure but was prevented from voting by the leadership. She will retain the votes of both sides that way. And
that's a pretty good explanation.
Yeah, I like that.
You should have said that, Alan.
And James says, gun vote. I think the panel, except Alan, may be overestimating how damaging a no vote on gun control is. I think Democrats may be passionate about the issue, but the nation as a whole has been unwilling to vote Congress members out on this issue. The display on the floor is interesting, but those members fear the NRA's blowback commercials more. And that's James from the Hudson Valley. And Glenn says, I'm with Alan on this. Each representative can go back to her or his district, say, I would have been in favor of open discussion, or I am against curbing Second Amendment rights. This action gives each Republican congressperson something. Anyway, Tina says, Alan is right. I get it. It is easier to say the gun bill didn't come up for a vote than it is to say I voted against it. Ryan is pretending the emperor has clothes by endorsing Trump and by suppressing this important gun issue. I was extremely proud of the Democrats last night. And then we heard from Doug, who says, Alan, I'm naive as to the actual process of getting a vote on the House floor. I thought if the Democrats proposed a bill and it was seconded, then it was put up for a wrong. The only way to get a bill out of committee, by the way, is something called a discharge petition. And you need 218 people to sign a piece of paper that is on the speaker's desk that says so. Since they don't have 218 people, and since the speaker, frankly, has to be honest about how many people have done it. I was around Congress at a time when, in order to get the Civil Rights Bill out, they couldn't get, they thought they had the votes there. They knew some people were lying about having signed the discharge petition. So what they did is they held up back 10 members, each of whom had a good memory. They went up, they memorized 10, 20 names each. They came back and they leaked it to the New York Times the next day. That's how it works. Isn't that interesting?
Did you watch the Bryan Cranston movie about where he plays LBJ? You ought to take a look at it. You would enjoy a lot of the behind the scenes about the Civil Rights Act.
Yeah, the only one I was there at the time working for Congressman Thompson. But I have to tell you, the only Cranston I know is Lamont.
There's a new one now.
Yeah, he's quite an actor.
And he's quite an actor.
He's come quite a ways from Seinfeld.
Malcolm in the Middle. That's right. Yeah.
They're asking him if he wants to come back for a revival.
Oh, I'm sure he'll. Well, he probably would do a
like a one shot. Yeah.
And then Breaking Bad.
Okay. You know, Joe, you were saying that you were proud to see that moment when they started singing, and I must admit that I felt sort of the same way, but I was also a little unease at the picture of the lack of decorum in the house because it's absent the throwing of chairs and punches. It sort of reminded me of pictures of some of the countries around the world where their legislative bodies fight with each other. Yeah. And our government has historically been the model of decorum, not even in Britain where they're screaming at each other during the prime minister's time. And so I'm also supportive of what they were doing, but I must say it did make me a little uneasy watching it.
Sad for lost times.
I do want to take just a moment to thank all those people, and there are many who wrote in to congratulate me, not only on
you sound like Donald Trump.
Not only on what I said about this matter, but the way I said it. Thank you.
Making
hairball noises.
All right, let's take a break. We'll be back after this.
Support for WAMT comes from the Hyde Collection, an art museum and historic house in Glens Falls, New York. Open Tuesday through Saturday, 10 to 5, and Sunday, 12 to 5, hydecollection.org. And Berkshire Theater Group, presenting the political musical Fiorello, based on the real-life rise to power of Mayor Fiorello LaGuardia and his battle for the people of New York City, through July 23rd in Stockbridge, berkshiretheater.org. Dr. Lucy Chapik Latham, plastic surgeon dedicated to cosmetic surgery, laser treatments, and minimally invasive facial rejuvenation, offering summer treatments for teachers, a surgeon's hands, a woman's touch, 518-786-1700. And Troy Waterfront Farmers Market, now in their summer season, featuring local producer-only foods and handmade products every Saturday, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. on River Street in downtown Troy, troymarket.org.
Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion on this Thursday morning. Let's go back to some other items in the news. The two major speeches that were given yesterday by the two major presidential candidates, Hillary Clinton gave a speech on the economy. Donald Trump gave a speech on Hillary Clinton's record. Hillary Clinton talked about that there were issues with the economy and things that needed to be addressed, and she said that she was the best suited to do those, and Donald Trump said that she was a fraud.
Yeah, that's a good summary. I thought the speech by Hillary was terrific. I know you're saying, oh, it's because you think everything she does is terrific, but it also epitomized me the way she operates. And you cannot summarize what she said in just one quote or one word the way you can Donald Trump, because he speaks in slogans. Hillary is careful and wonky, and she knows the economy. She has steps for everything that she wants to do. She's trying to paint herself as someone who understands and sympathizes with the progressives, but also wants to be actual, real about it.
So the real question is,
doesn't come across. I had to read a whole long story to get what she wanted, and Donald Trump is on headlines
she's
everywhere.
She's crazy. She's this and that.
That's
And certainly he repeats it enough times, somebody's going to believe it.
Can you think of anybody else who is more worthy of a chutzpah award than Donald Trump when he says at the top of his lungs that Hillary Clinton is a world-class liar? This man has done nothing.
Oh my gosh.
This man has done nothing but lie for the last year, and he is claiming that she's the world class liar.
Well, and even within the context, if you just took that speech that was fact checked, something like
half a dozen problems.
Yes,
with it.
Some 13% or something to see actually accurate. Yeah. So,
but you do notice that my prediction has come true, and he's raising record amounts from of donations from small people. He does not really need. I think the big Republican.
I'm not sure.
Donors.
Where do you hear that? It's only in the last day or two. Then.
Since he threw out Lewandowski, and he's begun. In other words, his big deficit, the big deficit between him and Hillary, is not going to cripple him.
Well, I know Alan has correctly pointed out that this race is not over
it
and
is
that
not.
Trump can win it. But yeah. Nevertheless, on Monday of this week, Trump was down 10, 12 points, depending on which poll you were having.
Right.
And you could see people were already saying, well, that's never going to happen. He gave a speech yesterday, the content of which has already been established was fictitious to a large extent. But nevertheless, he read through a teleprompter. He stayed to the script more or less. And this morning, everybody's saying he's back
it's
in the game.
Turned around.
And by
yeah.
the way, the New York Post is, and we know where they
well,
are.
Well, yeah,
and those are just polls. I was talking about money.
Yeah.
I think he's going to bring in the money he needs.
Look, this election. Let me just say one thing here. I know it's
no, go
really
ahead.
Right. But this election, as you have pointed out, is not over. The election is in November. And a lot can happen between now and then. Anything can happen. You know, you get a major crisis or catastrophe in this country, which is ISIS-inspired or something like that. That helps a guy like Trump. It does.
Unless he ruins it. Like well,
exactly. Yeah, I mean,
it
didn't help him with Orlando.
Self-inflicted wound right after that.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, we should note that Bernie Sanders has not withdrawn from the race. He has not suspended his campaign. He has also not endorsed Hillary Clinton, but he does admit that it appears that he will not be the nominee.
Doesn't look good.
I will be quiet because my mother used to say, if you can't say anything nice.
You know, it's impossible. What I'm going to recommend right now is going to be impossible for any of us and the rest of the country to follow. But given the way this race has gone on and given the ups and downs on a daily basis, I would suggest don't pay attention until September 29th, which I believe is the date of the first debate. That is going to be a important landmark, and whoever survives or comes out ahead of that debate, now we're talking.
I can't wait for that, actually.
Do you believe there will be anything interesting / substantive coming out of either of the conventions?
No, I think I think they're going to be interesting because there's going to be, from what we're reading, a lot more entertainment. You know, Hillary wants the cast from Hamilton there. Trump wants sports celebrities there. And the Republicans will probably be interesting only if, on the slim chance, there is an insurgency. And it doesn't seem likely that that's going to happen. But I think they're going to be more interesting this year than they have been in the last couple when they were strictly scripted.
Well, yeah. Anytime you have a close race, people are going to be watching really carefully.
Yeah, we want to see what happens with Bernie.
This is going to be a close race.
Yeah, I think in both parties there's a potential for rule changes that will affect future races, and that bears watching. I don't think that's the sexiest stuff that'll happen, but I think that's why I'm going to be watching. That's what I'll look for.
Yeah. All right. Go to a couple of letters on this subject, and then I want to talk about the Panama Canal.
Yay.
Well, that Panama Canal is really something. Isn't it? Yeah.
Oh, it's a great story. I'm booking a cruise to go down there. I want to see the...
Have you seen the old canal?
I haven't, except not in person. I've seen it on...
It's amazing.
And read the
book. It really is incredible.
Yeah.
Well, David McCullough's book on the Panama Canal is the book on the Panama Canal.
Cody says, Rosemary's... Good morning, panel. Good morning. Rosemary's praise of Clinton's speeches is substantive and non-slogan-filled is, in fact, a determinant, not an asset. Is anybody following this so far? Mm-hmm. Okay. The media and the American people understand catchphrases and concise, pithy expressions, not a speech that you actually have to read to understand it.
Yes.
Trump is a media master in this respect, while Clinton may be a policy master.
I really think that that's true, and it is a shame that that's a deterrent, because there are no fast, quick solutions in American politics or foreign policy or the economy. And Hillary knows that, and she doesn't herself or have anyone who translates that into a slogan. It's a shame.
Hi, folks. Just heard about the decorum in Congress and how recent behavior seems anomalous. History is good to recall. Apparently, there were duels, and one congressman uses cane to badly beat another congressman in the run-up to the Civil War. I, too, was amazed to hear this, but it is part of congressional history. Yes, it is.
The difference, of course, is that it isn't beamed out to millions of people. I guess thousands. I don't know. I doubt that millions were watching. But
by the way,
the
fact, as Joe pointed out, that the Republicans are able to control the C-SPAN cameras because,
yes.
And you know, this is the government of the United States of America. Yep. Those cameras should be on all the time, whether the Democrats are in control or whether the Republicans
yes.
are in control. I believe
yes.
the Democrats, if I read one of the stories correctly, did the same thing some years ago when they were in charge. So that shouldn't be.
Brian,
you see, a media project should talk.
Yes.
About this.
Yeah,
it's really
let's go
true.
And do that show.
Yeah.
Over.
Yeah.
And then it'll be three against one. Brian says, good morning, friends. Don't you think that the country will start tuning Trump out with regards to Hillary due to his contentious, bombastic, and crazy accusations and claims, perhaps the wrong messenger for the Republican Party?
I wish that true, but yeah. Joseph Goebbels already proved that. Well, the more you say it, the more people believe
Hillary
it.
Well,
is
they
so
don't
disliked.
Like her either.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
Another Democratic candidate of any stature would probably be ahead by 25 points.
If Trump is wrong, why doesn't Clinton sue Trump for libel? Oh, yeah, right.
Because we have laws of that.
We're not going
to sue. And slander is what she would have to sue for. Yeah. Libel is the printed word.
Okay. Well, he uses Twitter, so might be libel.
Right. But you're not in the public discourse. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, exactly. They're both public figures. It wouldn't go anywhere.
Okay, so I have to be very careful about what I read here. Judy says, hi, folks. Speaking of Bernie, the Washington Post has written that his bogus continuing candidacy is costing taxpayers $38,000 a day for a security team.
We talked about that.
Yeah, we did. Okay.
Yeah.
Not today, though, did we?
No.
No, when the story came out on Monday.
Yeah, right, right.
It's probably costing more than that. $38,000 a day
was
the
low figure
in 2008.
And it was also depending on where he traveled to.
Exactly.
Michael, this is Michael's letter. This is not me. Alan's sleep. You're not going to get 8 hours of sleep at your age. As we get older, our bodies need a lot less sleep, 4 to 5 hours at best. You're trying to sleep like you did 50 years ago. Ain't going to happen. 50 years ago, I didn't sleep very well either.
Well, 4 to 5 hours is probably just about right, because then you have to get up in the middle of the night anyway. And then you can go back for another
That's
4 or 5 hours.
That's right.
I think I...
you follow?
My mother's 90, she's like a cat. She sleeps 23 hours
she's
a day.
She's not a male with an enlarged Ooh. Prostate.
God, I hope not.
No, yeah. I don't think so.
Okay. Good morning, said John.
We're not going to get to the Panama Canal. Go ahead.
Okay, let's go to the Panama
Canal.
Canal.
Yeah.
All right.
Panama
so
Canal.
The Panama Canal is the we have a new Panama Canal, and the question is about the timing of the Panama Canal as
corruption more than just timing.
Oh well, I know a $3.1 billion expansion collided with reality, and I just have to if you get a chance to look at the New York Times and see the cover. They did with the amazing video and presentation. It's really quite incredible. Yes, a worldwide competition, a new set of locks, and things really went wrong.
Wow. This piece is written by Walt Bogdanich. I point that out because he's a 3-time Pulitzer Prize winner in investigative journalism. This story is unbelievable. The tugboats that will guide the ships in don't work. The canal, before it's even been used, has sprung leaks, which is unbelievable. The old canal has never done that. The ships that go through it may not be in as much use because world trade is down.
Well, that's
and
for now.
The Panamanians, instead of picking, I think, Bechtel, the American firm that had a great bid, went with the low bid. And you get what you pay for, folks. There is going to be, according to many people who quoted in this article, a disaster at this new canal. I'm booking a cruise because I want to go see it.
You want to see the disaster?
Yeah. Even the test. They did a test at the inauguration, but they used a ship that's about a third of the size of the ships that will be going through it.
Yeah. What, which I thought was sort of the whole point, was that it couldn't get these big ships in.
That's why they needed a new canal.
Because I remember when we went through it, I mean, you couldn't put a piece of paper between the boat and the side of the wall.
Right.
And so I just figured that they were going to enlarge that, but not really.
The new one is constructed. It isn't long enough and it isn't wide enough, and it uses tugboats rather than locomotives on the side the way the old canal does.
Right.
So that you need even more room than the size of the ship to get into those locks. and it isn't there. And the whole thing gets screwed up when there's wind, because the big ships have these containers that are way above the deck. And so the wind affects it even more. There is going to be, according to the tugboat guys, who, by the way, haven't been trained in the new canal except on simulators, there will be a disaster.
I'm sorry to hear this.
It's just spectacular to spend that much money and to end up with a product like
this. And we should not forget that the fight started well before the project even got underway. I mean, there was questions as to what are you going to do, how you're going to do it, what is the timing of this, how is this going to affect when we're building this,
and people making money on it are connected to the canal commission. It's just classic corruption. We never learn.
Look forward to reading the story.
Yeah, it's good.
Well, we are out of time. I want to thank everyone who wrote in, and obviously you can continue writing your letters.
Sure. I'd like to go take a nap myself.
Yeah, me too.
We already did. We were listening to Alan.
You can listen in the morning and hear how Alan starts the program.
Yeah.
What's plugging tomorrow.
Can you feel the love, ladies and gentlemen?
Yeah. You should see all these letters. Alan is right.
Alan is right.
All right. love and peace to you all. We'll be back after this.